The early days of complex duty. As I started on staff at the church in the bivocational days, one of the first areas of work that I encountered was with benevolence. When I was given my job description in writing, I think this benevolence category was around number 7 on the list, and other duties assigned. I discovered that when someone came needing help, our church would typically call the Red Cross and find out if this was a person who came often seeking help with the rent, electric bill, water bill, etc. If yes, then we wouldn't help. And if they didn't know the person, we usually helped. We all discovered that some in the community come to the church for an easy way to get stuff. They use the generosity of the church to make their way through life instead of working. Over time, we developed what we called the Community Care Ministry. At the heart of this ministry was the idea that each one in need would make an appointment to come and meet and discuss the need. I began to develop well-thought-out questions to get to the heart of the real need, not the request that was being presented. This ministry quickly begins to separate people who come wanting real help from those who just want some money for a band-aid to their problem. As this ministry developed and my counseling skills increased, along with my role at the sheriff's office, the courts began referring people to us for mandated counseling. A few of those situations stand out forever in my memory. One Punch George. Let me tell you about One Punch George and his common law wife, Peggy. They both had been arrested on drug charges and had been to court, facing the risk of losing their children. The court agreed to require mandated counseling and offered a probated sentence for a year. If they attended the mandated counseling and were not charged with another possession offense, then the original charge would be dropped as though it never happened. However, if they received an additional charge in that time frame, then both charges would be brought against them. So there I was in my first meeting with George. He had a reputation for fighting the police, and on two occasions he had knocked police officers out with one punch. This is how he picked up the nickname, One Punch George. All the deputies and officers were giving me warnings about him, and my anxiety level was elevated slightly as we met. I explained that I was a relatively new Christian, still working in construction, which was his vocation also, and that I knew about his one-punch reputation. I told George that turning the other cheek was something that I was still trying to accomplish, but had not yet mastered. So if he wanted to do the dance with me, he would need to bring his lunch, because we were going to be a while, and I would be there when the last punch was thrown. Now, some people would call me a big old boy. I am 6'4" and weigh in at 240 pounds. And I meant every word I said. Looking back at some of my first years of counseling, I am not sure they would fit into the curriculum of our biblical counseling classes, but I was learning fast. Dealing with hard people from the community with God's love, a growing faith, and a desire to serve Christ as well as the community He had placed me in was creating a rapid growth formula in a ministerial style. Also, however harshly my counseling techniques may be judged, it was working. George and Peggy and I made great progress. My wife and I worked with them for a long time, helping them overcome their addiction. My wife, Penny, used to take Peggy for methadone treatments at 6 o'clock in the morning so Peggy could go to work and help keep the family going. I put together a team of volunteers to help with the growing number of people that we were working with. Remember, this all started with our community care ministry. When someone had a need, we would meet them and discover all manners of bad choices that were leading to the homelessness, poverty, children being removed from the home, and addictions of all kinds. My personality is marked by a black-and-white mentality. At least it was when I entered this crazy, sin-filled arena of community care. As I worked with George and Peggy, who, though unmarried, had 3 kids and had been living together for several years, I helped move them towards faith in Christ, and we began to discuss marriage and getting their lives on the right track. As it turned out, they were both still officially married to their previous spouses. There had never been a divorce for either of them. As I shared this with our team, several were just aghast and said they must move apart into separate dwellings. They should go back and reconcile with their spouses. Okay, but what about the kids? What about the fact that their spouses had children with other partners and were living with them? Should we counsel divorce? There went my black and white perspective of right and wrong. No, I am not rejecting the absolute rightness of the moral law. I am saying that achieving moral clarity in the messy lives of moral wreckage helps us understand the occasion on which Jesus said, "Because of the hardness of your hearts." Mark 10:4-9.